Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. I'm Rochelle Acufo along with Brad Smith and Emily McCormick. We're just minutes away from the close. I want to introduce our market panel who'll be digesting all the news for us. Rhys Williams, Spouting Rock Asset Management's chief strategist, and Dori Wiley, Commerce Street Capital's president and CEO. We'll be checking back in with them in just a moment. Before we get to the close, let's see how markets are faring. Mixed at the moment, we're seeing that most of the day, all three major indices were in the red. The Nasdaq, you can back it.
And that concludes today's trading activity with major averages ending the day mixed. The Nasdaq was getting back into positive territory there at the end of today's trading session, with a lot of the activity really ramping up going into the close. With about 15 minutes left, we saw it turn positive once again on the day. The Dow and the S&P 500 didn't fare as well, however, closed off of their session lows, and we'll see exactly where this momentum continues going into tomorrow. The Dow closes down by about 0.5%, 179 points lower on the day. Compare that to the roughly 500-point loss at one point that we were looking at. And the S&P 500, you're seeing that close lower by about 0.25%, so also well off of today's session lows here. So let's get back to our panel for more discussion on what's played out over the course of today's activity. Once again, Rhys Williams, who is the Spouting Rock Asset Management chief strategist, and Dori Wiley, Commerce Street Capital president and CEO. And Rhys, I want to begin with you, particularly with what investors were looking at with today's trading session, and for at least the Nasdaq and some of those tech names that they may have seen some deals in right now, whether that is still going to continue to be kind of the outsized tenor, if you will, among many of not just the institutional investors, but even some retail investors that may be just looking for some good deals in this environment.
Yeah, well, it was certainly an interesting day. In the beginning part of the day, it was probably the most beaten up part of technology that did very, very well. And then at the end of the day, some of the bigger generals, big tech, turned positive. But they were negative for most of the day. So, I mean, on the big tech side, I think, you know, those have sort of consumer staple-like qualities in the 21st century. So that is kind of understandable. What motivated some of the most beaten up, growthy tech names to do so well this morning is a bit of mystery, other than they're probably very heavily shorted and there was a covering.
Sure. And so, Dori, staying with the theme of tech, market risk, you say, is Russia, which we do know. Quantitative easing, though, as well, which tech would be directly impacted from. We've seen how reactive tech has been with any type of conversation or Fed signaling about their appetites to be more hawkish or raise rates on a more aggressive scale. And so we're going to hear from Fed Chair Jerome Powell this week, but again, ahead of the FOMC decision to come in their next meeting. And so what are you anticipating, and will the Fed, are they in a position now to have to address the international crisis that's taking place?
Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. I think that's a two-part question. You know, obviously, tech has been trading sideways to down, mostly down, since late last year, with this theme of moving from growth to value. So it's no secret that quantitative easing sucks liquidity out of the market. We have inflation. If you look at the December notes, the Fed is saying, you know what, maybe it's not so transitory. We've got a lot of high prices. We've got a lot of inflation. We've got a lot of hikes. We're going to have hikes in March, April, and May. The only question is one of them going to be 50 basis points because of Russia? And if you look at GDP forecasts are still going down to very small numbers, even below 1% in GDP now from Atlanta. So when you look at all those things, you know, it's no secret why tech or growth would trade sideways. Now, having said that, that creates a lot of opportunities in what I would call growth at a reasonable price stocks. And even if you look at big ones, say like a Microsoft or an Apple or a Lam Research, all of those have great margins, great growth prospects. A hike in 100 basis points or 200 basis points is really not going to affect those companies.
And Rhys, to that point, in terms of the market reaction that we've been seeing through the end of last week, through today, how much of this risk asset support that we've really been seeing, do you think has been driven by the expected monetary policy response, this potential taking the foot off the accelerator and not being as hawkish as potentially market participants thought earlier on, and potentially not getting this front-loaded 50 basis point rate hike in March?
I'm sure that's part of it, because I do think that, you know, Jerome Powell has historically been a cautious guy, and there's certainly a lot to be cautious about. I mean, we don't really know how this the Russia situation plays out. You know, the West has thrown a pretty tough ball at Putin, and you know, ATMs were closed today. Most of Russia. I mean, there's a real panic now, and you know, the big risk here is he decides to put the same kind of panic into Europe and cuts off energy supplies. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of unknowns right now. And, you know, until there's either some sort of negotiated deal and or the violence calms down in the Ukraine, I think that will keep, you know, markets at heightened risk and Powell looking to be a little more careful.
And Dory, of course, we've now gotten a variety of sanctions coming down from the U.S., U.K. and the EU against Russia. What are you looking for in order to really gauge the financial market and economic fallout that we're seeing here in the U.S. as a result of some of these restrictions?
You know, now, Putin's not stupid, right? So he had some predetermined outcome that he thought would happen as far as sanctions, and maybe even had something negotiated behind the scenes. However, it clearly looks like he may have underestimated what these sanctions would have done. And that's what we're seeing. So there's two things affecting him here and that relate to the markets. One is the sanctions. Did he expect that? Or are they stronger than we thought? And two, the resolve of the Ukrainian people to hold him out. I think he's probably clearly underestimated that as well. So the longer this goes on, the more it's going to affect him, more it's going to spill over into the rest of the market, and it won't be a quick end. I think he thought he was going to have a quick nod that, hey, you know, I get a slap on the wrist, I take this over, and we're done with. It doesn't look like that's what's going to happen.
And to that point then, Reese, I want to bring you in here. So even if a de-escalation was possible at this point, when you have companies like BP unwinding their business from Russia and seeking alternatives to that country, we're now seeing obviously Canada as well halting its imports of crude from Russia. How do those relationships continue afterwards? And how do you really plan your portfolio around what might happen?
Well, we don't invest directly in Russia, so it's a little easier. But no, I do think that, you know, anybody with a big Russian exposure, it's pretty hard to know the outcome. And I'm sure British Petroleum shareholders may not be so happy that the government's making them sell to Putin at cents on the dollar. I'm not sure how that necessarily helps shareholders longer term. But we don't own British Petroleum.
And I want to bring you in here, Dory, in terms of your buying strategy. When you're looking at this volatility and seeing what the VIX is doing, talk about your strategy in using the VIX as a guide and perhaps what that means in terms of how people invest in the shorter term versus longer term.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. Anytime VIX gets over 30, I'm eagerly salivating or watching the market, and it gets above 35, you know, it's time to step in and find value. And so you need to have it pre-identified. You need to have some cash. On the day of the invasion, I looked up in the morning and it was 36. And so, you know, you start buying. You don't know when you're going to get your gain back, either in a day or a week or month or maybe even a year. What was amazing is a lot of the gain was right back there in one day. It was tremendous.
We're going to have to leave things there on the day. We're going to continue to track the volatility as it continues to be highly reactive in relation to the Ukraine and Russia conflict. We're appreciative of your time here with us today. Reese Williams, who's the Spouting Rock Asset Management Chief Strategist, as well as Dory Wiley, who is the Commerce Street Capital President and CEO. Appreciate the time.